Hello. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Record Club. It's me, it's Sean, and we're back for another episode. Just got back from Boston. I wore my shirt so you would always know where I was at. Boston. I wanted to take a special second to shout out all the people who came by the booth and told me they love Record Club. There's a lot of people that came by and said that to me. It means a lot. So thank you to everyone who listens and said hello. And thank you to those, you know, who listen and can't say hello because you weren't in Boston. That's respect still. So we today are going to be talking about Bob Dylan and the band The Basement Tapes, which was 335. We're stuck in the threes. Not only the threes, but the 330s. We've done a lot of them. So many of the 330s we've done. So, but 331 is Madonna Like a Prayer. And that's going to be a good one because my wife will be on it and she'll be very excited. But anyways, today we're talking about Bob Dylan. Truth be told, I don't think I've ever listened to an entire Bob Dylan album before. So is this the one to jump into? We'll find out. We'll see. So let's get into this album. I'm going to go into a little bit of the process I learned while I researched this. I did a lot of my research before I left for Boston. I was almost thinking like maybe I could do it, like record this episode like before I leave for my trip. And I wasn't able to squeeze it in, but I wish I would have because I did so much research, so much. And now it's been a different side of the country and back, and now my memory's a little foggy on it. So we have to help me through this. And I have my notes here still, but I was ready to go, and I didn't have the time, but that's okay. We're gonna be covering this album now. We're not gonna be covering every single song because there's a lot. It was a double album. It was actually longer than that, but this is what was released originally, and. How many songs is it? 24 songs. So I'm going to show you and tell to you about my favorite songs, my least favorite songs, and what I thought overall. But let's get into really quick what this album even is. Like, what is The Basement Tapes? Why is this such a thing? It kind of, to me, seemed like a similar story with the Brian Wilson Smile a little bit. Where there was a time where it was thought this would never be released. It was kind of just made, like, let me get into this really quick. So Bob Dylan, now, I was not really aware of the fact that apparently when Bob Dylan started playing songs with an electric guitar, people got fucking upset about this. This was a big deal. And the more I looked into it, it was like, oh, this was like a legendary rock story of like, oh, when Bob Dylan went electric, what the world did. And it's like, what? Okay. And apparently he decided he wanted to start writing songs with electric guitars, but people thought he was selling out and he wanted to make radio hits and not the folk songs he makes. And they were literally booing him at his concerts. Because whenever he picked up his electric guitar, they would start booing him. He's like, I'm about to play a folk song. I watched a documentary on Bob Dylan's YouTube channel, actually, about The Basement Tapes. And he's like, I'm playing a folk song. But, like, the electric guitar. In the documentary, they said people would buy tickets to the show and then stage a mass walkout whenever he picked up that electric guitar to prove a point to Bob Dylan that fuck you for taking away our acoustic guitar. Really crazy. So he toured in 1965 through 1966, and it did not go well. He was mad at the crowd. They were mad at him. You know, in that clip I saw, it's him like leaving a hotel, and these girls are asking for autographs. Like, were you the ones booing me last night? And they're like, no. And he's like, I want you to find out who that was, because he's annoyed by being booed. So he's kind of not like finding his groove. He's not happy really when it comes to him and music, and he doesn't know what he's gonna do. He's 25, which is not very old, but maybe he's done. Then he gets into a motorcycle accident on July 29th, 1966. when he crashed his Triumph motorcycle near his home in Woodstock, New York, suffering a cracked vertebrae and a mild concussion. So all the concerts he had scheduled then was then canceled. And then he kind of used that as an excuse to like, I'm not going to do shit anymore. Like, fuck all these people. I'm done. So he went to kind of a little bit of a hiding point in the Bob Dylan universe. People call this time the era of silence because Bob Dylan wasn't making shit anymore. Or so they thought. But I guess what was really happening is that, so when he was touring the world tour, he had his band of people who they all kind of bonded because they're all being booed off stage every night. And this band called The Band, which always fucking confused me as a kid, that there was a band called The Band. But I didn't realize it was part of Bob Dylan's. I had no idea they were part of Bob Dylan at all. But they were. And then Bob Dylan, during this time, was kind of working on a, what was this? He's working on, okay. So Bob Dylan invited him over to his house he was staying at because he was editing a film called Eat the Document, which is a rarely seen account of Dylan's 1966 world tour. So I'm sure it has all the booing and probably where they got that footage from, honestly, I saw in the documentary. And at some point between March and June 1967, they're all staying at this house. Dylan and the band began a series of informal recording sessions. And so they were just kind of fucking around and just playing music and just, you know, never meant to be released, just playing songs, writing songs, having a good time. And they said that this kind of was Bob Dylan finding joy in music again. He's just with his friends. There was even a point where, you know, they're recording this stuff to like acetate, reel to reel or whatever. And then Bob Dylan was like, we should burn these. Like, we don't want these to get out. Which was very similar to what we read about last week with The Who and how they destroyed all their North American tour footage. But thankfully, I guess, if you're a Dylan head, these tapes were not destroyed. And they were kind of like the original bootlegs because some people would get a hold of these tapes and then give them to friends like, hey, don't tell anyone where you got this. And it's like, oh, is this? And they listen to it at their house. Like, is this Bob Dylan? Like, what the fuck? And so it started kind of getting out there that he was recording music and it was a whole thing. And then he kind of just like, I mean, they were doing this for a long time, but not really ever intending to release this album. But the rumors about this album spread and it got bigger and bigger and bigger until finally, when did this album actually come out? In 1975, this came out. But he was recording this in like 68, 69. When, you know, a lot of these, we've covered a lot of albums from that time. Anyway, like, right, you know, we have the Pink Floyd, we had Sgt. Pepper's, like all this shit is coming out then. And he's doing something the complete opposite, where like just stripping everything down, less complicated. And it's just kind of like fucking around in the basement. So I'm not 100% sure why it was released. Eventually, Bob Dylan was like, fine, you can listen to it, you can release it, whatever. And they released the tapes, but people had already had some bootlegs and some of the bootlegs songs were not on here. And so people were like, well, where are those songs? Like, I know you recorded those songs. Where are those songs? And so they ended up releasing another edition of the bootleg tape of the basement tapes. And it was 4 hours long. So thankfully we didn't get that one because that's too much. I think that's a deep dive. If you're way into Bob Dylan, then you listen to that. But yeah, that's what that was all about. So what I'm going to do is I think actually what happened with it being released is I think the band wanted it released. And I think there was something with a contract obligation or something that's counted for. Something weird. But then Bob Dylan relented. Like, I mean, it's already out there, whatever. I don't care. And so they had to go back. The band had to go back 8 years later and kind of retouch up some things, re-record some things, and make it like, again, they revisit this time in their lives that they kind of just forgot about a little bit. So let's look at the songs. Again, not all of the songs, but some. And we'll see what we think. It starts off with Odds and Ends, which I think is a pretty appropriate song choice to start it off, considering that's what this kind of is. It's just like weird little... I mean, some of these songs don't have endings. You know, what's the point of this? Like, it's all kind of like weird. But again, if you're just hanging out with your friends and you all can play instruments and you're just fucking around, you know, I don't think... Maybe that is the most freeing, where it's just like, you know, we're just making shit, right? I, there's no pressure here anymore, because I think he felt all the pressure, especially with the tour, how bad it went, and how people were like turning on him. So maybe this was like exactly what he needed. Maybe that motorcycle crash was like what saved him. Maybe. I don't know. Let's listen to a little bit of Odds and Ends. Lost time is not found again. Think about that. So what was I going to say? Okay, so a lot of this stuff, okay, this album in particular, not all of it is sung by Bob Dylan, and not all of it is, they have different singers, because again, they're just fucking around. This is one of the final basement songs to be recorded, and Dylan acknowledges that when it came to sprouting catchphrase choruses while exposing, profoundities in the verses. Okay, you know, chill out. The process had just about run its course. Dylan admits as much by singing it. I've had enough. My box is clean. You know what I'm saying. You know what I mean. I think he's saying, I'm just saying things here because I got to fill the time, essentially, is what Dylan is saying. I think the song's pretty good, honestly. I was, I don't know what to expect with this album. I will tell you that some songs on here I fucking hate, and you could definitely, definitely cut. But there is one song in particular, but we'll get to, because it's the last song, that I think is so good that I'm surprised I haven't heard it before, honestly. So the next song is called Orange Juice Blues, Blues for Breakfast. So, I mean, we're getting weird. I don't know. We're getting weird. I had a hard time waking this morning. I got a lot of things. But this clearly is not sung by Bob Dylan. So this song, they recorded parts of it in 67. They overdubbed it again in 1975. They added the saxophone, the drums, all that stuff. So it's always interesting when it's something like that where it's like, this song came together, but it took 8 years. Like, that is always wild to me. So yeah, Manuel and Danko are the two people who worked on this. Laid down the basic track in 1967. And the rest of the band overdubbed 8 years later. yeah, I think that, I mean, again, like, this is fine. You know what? Again, I said I'm not going to every song, and I'm going through every song. I'm not going to do that. But let's go to Million Dollar Bash, because I think this is where they said that Bob Dylan got his groove back. Where Bob Dylan was like, I'm just having fun. This is like the most fun Bob Dylan's ever had on a song. And I don't really like the song very much, to be honest with you. But I see its importance in that sense. So let's listen to Million Dollar Bash.
That big, dumb blonde with her wheels gorged. Turtle, that friend of hers with his checks all forged and his cheeks in a chunk with his cheese in the cash. They're all going to be there at that Million Dollar Bash.
So, you know, whatever. I guess he played this live in 2005 and no one could fucking believe it. They were losing their minds that he played Million Dollar Bash. You know, it's fine. I mean, whatever. Let me just go to the songs that I liked. I think Going to Acapulco I liked. Let's listen to that. Sorry.
I'm going down to Rosemary's. She never does me wrong.
Okay, good. Good song.
She puts it to me plain as day and gives it to me for a song.
All right, it's, you know, it's way back, it's cool. I guess this song was never on any of the bootlegs that had got out, so this was new to everyone. So this was exciting to people. People like that. Let's see, what other? Oh, okay. Lo and Behold is a song on the second side, and this is a song I fucking hate. I hate this song. Listen to it. I listen to this album a lot because I'm on the plane, just driving around. I had to get a U-Haul in Boston. I'm driving around, you know, Cambridge, and I'm listening to this. And when this song came on, I was just, ugh, I was not in a good place. But this song sucks. And let me get to the chorus because this part's fine. Originally, it's okay. It's whatever.
I pulled out for San Antonio. I never felt so good.
Okay.
Man, he hit me for
I'm skipping.
Hook.
I'm skipping around. Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is where I go crazy.
Lo and behold, lo and behold, looking for my lo and behold, get me out of here, my dear man.
I hear lo and behold. That's what I hear. It's like a butthole song. I'm not into this. I'm not into this. I did not like the song. But let's learn about it really quick. What was I going to say about it? I had a little note over here. Lo and Behold was adopted as a title of an album of unreleased Dylan songs, including a half Desmond basement tracks. So, I don't know. This song fucking sucks. Fuck. Hey, you know what? You didn't need to include this one. That's my opinion. Now, Bessie Smith is the next song, and I like this song. This song was fine to me. This reminds me of like a Almost Famous, you know, like they're driving the bus out the window and they hear this song. I can see that. All right. I like it. That's a good song. I truly like that song a lot. I like the organ. I liked all of it. But what I want to do is I'm just going to skip all the other songs. I mean, they're fine. There's a couple other ones I don't like. I don't really care for Please Miss Henry. I don't know how you guys felt about this. But I want to talk about Wheels on Fire. There's a lot of fucking songs on this album, honestly. Too much to cover in one day. We listened to it, right? We got it. And now we know the backstory behind it, which I will tell you 100%. The backstory about the album made me listen to it again and enjoy it more. Not knowing the backstory, I was kind of like, okay, like I don't know what we're doing here. And then once I found out what we were doing, I got it. I got it. But let's listen to Wheels on Fire. This song fucking rules, in my opinion. Let's just cut right to that. Has this been covered? I don't know if it has. Get to the chorus. We'll get to the chorus and then I'll turn it off. But I'm just really enjoying it. Oh, it's so good. Okay, we're almost there. We're almost there. Oh, the organ going up. Yeah, I this song fucking rules. I'm gonna add this to like my driving playlist. Like this, I really like this song. And I never heard it before. Have you guys heard that song, this song before? I've heard many Bob Dylan songs in my life, but never this song, but, really into it. And again, everything else, we could go down the list, as I already said, but I don't think we need to. I think it's all kind of the same. It's very similar. And I'm going to say that I don't dislike this album. It's probably not the, if you're going to listen to a Bob Dylan album for the first time, this probably isn't the way to go. But that's what we drew, and that's what it's going to be. So, you know, overall, what I would say as an encompassing thing for this album, like a part of me wants to give it like a 2.5. The story is cool, a 3. But I really think I'm just going to give it a 2. I mean, the story behind it, I think, is better than the album itself, you know? But they never meant for this to be on this list, I don't think. This is just them fucking around. And so I know that Bob Dylan is on this list a lot. And I'm kind of like, you don't need to put everything this guy did on the list. You know, just the best of the best. And I know this is one of those situations where it's like, oh, but the fact that it even exists, that we have it, is so exciting. And that's why it's on the list. I don't know. There's a lot of artists that could have used this spot. And I think Bob Dylan wouldn't care. I don't think he cares. That's just my opinion. But let's see what Rolling Stone has to say, and let's see why they put this on the list. Bob Dylan and his pals spent the summer of love in Woodstock messing around in the basement of a house they called Big Pink. The songs were so deeply weird, yep, they sat unreleased for years until Basement Tapes finally collected a bootleg favorites, Million Dollar Bash, You Ain't Going Nowhere. For a deeper vibe, see 2014 box set. This is a quote by Bob Dylan. They were a kick to do, Dylan told Rolling Stone's Jan S. Wiener in 1969. That's really the way to do a recording, in a peaceful, relaxing setting in somebody's basement with the windows open and a dog lying on the floor, which they actually have a dog. Am I blocking it? There's a dog on the album cover, I think, for that dog that they referenced. So yeah, it's just Bob Dylan hanging with his friends. That's fine. It's fine. But, you know, it wasn't my favorite album I've done here, you know? I wasn't blown away. But, again, it was all worth it for Wheels on Fire, in my opinion. Which I guess is about King Lear, supposedly. Let's talk quickly about the song of the week by Marshall Jefferson, Move Your Body. Now, there are a billion covers of the song, and it's honestly hard to find the original. But let's play a little bit of the... Oh, see, this is not the original. Let's try to find the original. Loud as fuck. 6 minutes and 40 seconds. It's long. I'm going to skip ahead. Now, we've heard this. We've heard the shit out of this, right? This song has been covered and remixed and sampled a trillion times. It's been a ton of movies. It's fine. It's a fine song. Now, Marshall Jeffries was interesting. This was his biggest song. And I think his story is interesting. In 1985, he worked at a post office and went to a music store with his friend who was a guitarist. And Jefferson loved rock's music. He loved Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple. He bought records with every penny he had, he said. At the store, a salesperson came up to him, showing him the Yamaha 284 synthesizer, telling him that he could play it like a professional keyboarder and he never even had to have lessons. So Jefferson then received a line of credit from his work and bought the sequencer along with the keyboard, drum machine, and a mixer, which totaled up to $9,000. And then he took equipment home, wrote his first song 2 days later, and that equipment was used to make this song. That's pretty fucking cool. He's just a postal worker who took a loan out from work. He just loved music and found out he could make it too, which as a person who loves music and can't make it, that's a dream. And then he just did it 2 days later. Like, that's dope. And the fact that he's on this list, Marshall, I'm happy for you. Fuck yeah, dude. You did it. It's a long ass song. It's an okay song. But I think the story about him just becoming a person who makes music is awesome. And let's see, did it ever chart for him? I don't know if it did, but it's in this thing. So, you know, it's apparently in 2014, Rolling Stone included their 20 best Chicago house records. This track's claim to fame is the first use of a piano on a house record. See, he's revolutionizing everything. And as a barnstormer melody on the keys, it would be imitated for decades. I think that is true. I think this kind of song was used in so many other songs, and he was the first one to really do it with this thing. So shouts out the song. I don't really care about, really. His story, 5. This song, 1.5. But I recognize and appreciate Marshall. And I'm honestly, I don't really care about the song, but I'm happy he's on this list. That makes me happy because I'm sure that means a lot to him. Is he still alive? Oh, shit. I don't even know. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm going to cross your fingers for Marshall here. Born 1959. I don't see a death date. We're good, baby. Marshall's still going. He's 64. Shouts out, Marshall. All right. That is that. Okay. Let's find out what we're listening to this week. I don't know if I got a cold or allergies. I've been sneezing like crazy. It's awful. Now I'm like coughing a little bit. What is going on? Okay. Let's get something not in the threes. What do you say? What do we say? Let's see. I'm nervous. 473. We're almost at 500. We are going back. Okay, here we go. 400. And 73, almost to the very back of the book. One more. Barrio Fino by Daddy Yankee. Okay. I don't know much about Daddy Yankee, but 476 is Sparks. We just were on this page, and we're back. We're fucking back. Okay, so Barrio Fino, Danny Yankee. I don't know shit about Daddy Yankee. Go figure. I know you're all shocked by this, but I don't know anything about this. I think it's Latin pop. All right? We're going to listen to some Latin pop this week. Fair enough. And 473 is Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man. You may not like that, but I do. That's a deep cut, but Tammy Wynette. All right. Let's check out Stand By Your Man, Tammy Wynette, and fucking Barrio Fino by Daddy Yankee. I asked for not a 3, and I got it. Everyone, thank you so much again for watching. I really appreciate it. And again, means a lot to me. And yeah, I'm having fun doing this. I hope we have fun listening to Daddy Yankee. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Goodbye.